Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour cosmic cocktail party. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Modesto to Miami, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. How's everybody doing? Happy Tuesday. Good show coming up for you. This hour in studio, Kim Jones from NFL Network will join us. She's been covering the Odell Beckham saga for the New York Giants, among other things. So we'll get her thoughts on this coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. She'll be in studio, so you can watch that at watchda.com. Kim Jones, NFL Network, coming your way at the end of the hour, towards the end of the hour. Also, we'll have, speaking of the Giants wide receiver, Brandon Marshall, Odell Beckham's teammate. We'll talk to Marshall as he is now a couple of months into his newest team. What type of addition does he hope to be for a Giants squad that made the playoffs but was one and done last year after going to Green Bay and losing? Also, we'll do MLB as we are nearing the All-Star break. Robert Flores, MLB Network, will join us in the third hour of the show. So Kim Jones in the first, Brandon Marshall in the second, Robert Flores in the third. It's also a Trash Tuesday, so if you've got anything that you want to trash, anybody, anything, this is the place to do it. We'll get to your trashings coming up next hour on the show as well. So a lot to do, and as always, we encourage you to use the phones and light them up. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Also on Twitter, DA on CBS. I've got thoughts on the broadcast of last night's Big Three, the Basketball 3-on-3 League. We've also got a ranking of a new number one player as voted by the players in the NFL. And you won't believe the memorabilia from MLB history that Charlie Sheen owns. But we begin with last night's NBA awards and Russell Westbrook winning the MVP. I felt that Westbrook should have been the MVP. James Harden had a wonderful season. James Harden, I think you could argue, James Harden surprised us more than Westbrook, because Harden took a game, his style, and elevated it to the next level that I don't think a lot of people expected him to be able to ever get to. He became much more team-oriented. He was the engineer behind one of the most explosive offenses in all of the NBA. He was a guy that kind of perfected what his role was within that offense, that scheme, what Daryl Morey wanted, what Mike D'Antoni wanted, which was driving the ball up and either taking it to the rack for a layup or a dunk or kicking it out to your array of three-point shooters. Essentially, if you could boil down NBA offense to the very basic stuff that makes it up, the Rockets are trying to do that. Do the most high percentage or highest value shots on the floor, and that is layup or three. And Harden took that, and he pushed it to the next level. Great finisher, great drive and kicker, great scorer. Harden did all of those things. So he certainly was deserving of being in this conversation. But the way that I felt all along was that Russell Westbrook did more with less. That Westbrook became a one-man cannonball. This was a guy that, obviously, having Kevin Durant leaving, had to kind of on the fly drag his team to where it was, which was 47 wins and the sixth seed in the West. Now, we had not had an MVP that played on a team that won fewer than 50 games in nearly 40 years. Moses Malone, 1981, the last time a guy on a squad that won less than 50 games won the MVP. But watching Russell Westbrook night in, night out became mesmerizing, because not only was he throwing his body all over the floor, not only was he averaging a triple-double, which hadn't happened since Oscar Robertson, but he was also taking all of these huge shots late in games and making them. It was the most dramatic 82 games possible for a team that only won 47. Westbrook deserved that MVP because Westbrook was the most valuable piece of any puzzle in the NBA outside of LeBron. But what happens here in these things is that LeBron can't win it every year, because people then would get fatigued, or they would get exhausted, or they would get tired, or they would get bored, whatever that is. Michael should have been the MVP basically every year of his prime. LeBron should be the MVP every year of his prime. But knowing that that's not part of the equation out of this group of guys, Russell Westbrook had the most sensational individual year. Now, there's a caveat. And that is, Russell Westbrook's brilliance has to evolve if the Thunder's going to get better. That Russell Westbrook's singular brilliance this year was sometimes attempting to do too much, was at times not trusting his teammates. It was at times going, screw this, I'm taking over, which is awesome. But also, other times you go, that's not the best way to win basketball games. So he will have to evolve. But for 1 year, for what he was supposed to do, for what he had around him, for what the expectations were, and for what the gut punch was of losing Durant that way, I totally thought that Westbrook deserved to be the MVP. The next question is this going to be Russell Westbrook's life, where Westbrook doesn't have a lot around him and he just is going to be forced to drag a team with Herculean efforts to 45, 47, 48 wins and first round exits? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
To my little brother, my road dog, you mean so much to me, man. You're my role model. You're my role model. I look up to you, man. I truly look up to you. You're amazing, blessed. And I'm so happy to have you as my brother. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. My brother, man, he texts me every single game at halftime, every game. Since I've been in the league, he texts me every game at halftime. He don't got to do that, man. He does that because he has a kind heart, and he looks out for me. Man, I love you from the bottom of my heart, brother. I promise you. I appreciate everything you do for me. Everything.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Hart Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Sometimes I think that Westbrook gets a bad rap, that he comes off as aloof, or he comes off as disconnected. He comes off as unemotional sometimes in terms of how he deals with the media, questions. But I think what you saw last night was a guy that really deeply cares about so many things in his life. He talked about his wife when they met at UCLA. He talked about his brother. He talked about his teammates. That Russell Westbrook is, I think, just a fascinating human being. He is so intense. He is so passionate. He feels things so deep that that's what drove him last year. That he felt like he couldn't let the guys down the way that Kevin Durant let him down. And that's a pretty remarkable emotion, I think, to have when it comes to playing basketball or playing professional sports. I worry, though, that the gravy train has left Oklahoma City. I worry that a team that once had James Harden, Serge Ibaka, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook at their starts might have none of them left after next summer, because Russ is only under contract for one more year. They're going to try to give him a big fat extension on July the 1st. But if he doesn't take that, the Thunder are going to be forced to trade him this season so that they don't get left with nothing like they got left with nothing after Kevin Durant. And I worry that it's going to be hard to bring free agents into Oklahoma City, because right now it's Westbrook and not a lot else. I mean, look, Steven Adams is fine. Cantor is fine. Oladipo is fine. But all of those guys, even alongside Westbrook, couldn't do anything better than the sixth seed out West. Is a guy like Blake Griffin going to sign there? Maybe, if you're pulling on his heartstrings of coming back home. But you're not getting Paul George there. You're not getting LeBron there. You're not getting these big-time free agents to come there. So you have to build a smarter way. And Westbrook has this fascinating decision. It's the most fascinating decision possible. He felt so upset by what Durant did to him. But he has the decision that he might have to make the same one. That on July the 1st, he can decline this monster extension, and then the Thunder might have to trade him sometime, either before the season or during the season. Or Westbrook buys back in and is like, you know what, loyalty, this franchise has been behind me, these people believe in me, and I'm not doing what Kevin Durant did. And then is he just going to be the guy that's pushing a boulder uphill without the talent around him to truly win? I don't know what he's going to do. My gut is he opts back in. He signed that extension because it's going to be worth a lot of money and because I think he trusts the people around him. I think he trusts the front office. I think he trusts Billy Donovan. I think he likes his teammates. I think he likes the city. But, you know, I'm sure he also desperately wants to win as well. And unless they are laying out, hey, we're going to do this, then we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to surround you with better players, this could be Westbrook's unfortunate life. This could be his career, where he's just trying to drag an inferior team constantly to try to get better and better every year, and he'll have to really evolve as a player to do that. And they're going to have to get more talent around him. No doubt about that. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. I certainly hope that Westbrook's fate is not like a Dominique Wilkins, where he's a generational talent but never given enough pieces to defeat the big dogs in his conference and get all the way to an NBA Finals. I know that Westbrook got there a couple of years ago with a young Thunder team, but I hope that's not what his fate is, because the guy is too brilliant to watch and he cares too much. When we come back, I don't know about you, but I sat down and watched some of the Big Three last night. I poked fun at the League of Old Guys on yesterday's show, but they had it on tape delay. So it went down on Sunday, the first day, And then they aired it last night on FS1. I'll give you my full breakdown of what works and what doesn't work about the Big Three League that's barnstorming through the country this summer with aging, faded NBA stars of yesteryear next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Get zapped while the sun is out.
Good morning, DA. You know what, my friend? I love you to death, because if there's one thing that I've learned from listening to you, is you stick to it.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Summer's heat can cause your battery fluids to evaporate. Get your battery tested for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the battery that you need. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. So coming up, we'll have Kim Jones, NFL Network, in studio. We'll have her coming up in about 18 minutes from now, 40 past the hour. She's been on the trail reporting about the Odell Beckham offseason. So we'll discuss that with her and other offseason NFL items coming up in studio. Kim Jones, NFL Network, at about 40 past the hour. You can watch at watchda.com. So on Sunday, the Big Three League, which is run by Ice Cube, or at least he's one of the big money people behind it, had its first day of action. It's a barnstorming league. It's got eight teams. They play a quadruple header every single week. They played on Sundays. It airs in edited form on Monday nights on FS1. And next up, I think it's going to Charlotte. It's going to go to Rupp Arena. It's going to go throughout the country. And then they're going to end up in Vegas for the championship game. Although, I don't know if you saw this, but the championship game is on the same date scheduled in the same arena in Vegas as the Mayweather-McGregor fight. So pretty clearly, the Big Three is going to have to get bought out there and move it to a different location or a different date. But I'm guessing that Mayweather-McGregor is not moving for the Big Three championship. My guess is they're not moving for Jermaine O'Neal against Kwame Brown as the Ghost Towners and the Piglets end up going after it in the Big Three title game. So they play this last night, and I was actually pretty locked in. I said, I want to see what this looks like, because I read all of these stuff about Sunday's action, but we didn't really have the full games, the full footage to watch. So I was... like, I want to see this. I want to see what it looks like. The first thing that struck me was the camera work's all wrong. It's all wrong on this. It doesn't look like a basketball game. And I don't know if anybody else felt this way. It didn't look right. Now, I get that it's different to shoot that versus shooting full court basketball, because this is half court. This is 3-on-3 half court. So a rebound, just like it is in the backyard, just like it is in the front driveway, just like it is in the playground, you get the rebound, you pull it out behind the three-point line, and then that resets your possession. It was shot from a bizarre angle, which I guess was like the mid-court angle that Nets games are usually shot at Barclays Center, like every basketball game is, but so it was shot behind all of the action. And it was at an angle, so it was very awkward to watch. It didn't look like a normal basketball game. Number two, look, if you're going to give me 3-on-3 and this kind of league of it's pseudo-competitive with retired NBA players that I've mostly heard of, not everybody, then you've got to give me something different. It's got to look different. It's got to look, and I don't mean different like in a weird camera angle way. I mean, I need more access. Like, I need to be in the action. I need to feel like I am sitting courtside. And they only used a couple of shots camera-wise from like a handheld under the basket. I mean, it just seems so weird. This is an intimate little setting where it's 3-on-3 and half court. You've got to be in the action. The viewer has to be in the action. If you watched it on FS1 last night, it felt like you were zoomed out, sitting in the mezzanine, trying to like look through binoculars at what you were seeing. Not good. You can't call it that way. Also, you've got Gus Johnson on the call. Gus, I need some juice. Gus, you sell the NCAA tournament as well as anybody. You sell the games that you are broadcasting. You got to sell this. And most of the time, it felt like Gus Johnson was in a moderate whisper. It just wasn't full on Gus. And I think it's because they didn't quite know what was going to be exciting, how much action there was going to be, and they didn't want to maybe oversell it. Dude, you got to oversell it. You're Gus Johnson. Got to oversell it. I was once in the Madison Square Garden media restroom at a urinal next to Gus Johnson. And Gus was talking to somebody else who was washing his hands, and Gus was selling that. Gus was selling being in the MSG press bathroom. I'm like, this guy's amazing. Like, I feel like it's exciting in here because Gus Johnson is talking and talking aggressively or talking emotionally. Last night, you got to give me something else. Got to give me something else. Now, here's the dirty little secret above all. You can fix camera angles. You can fix the announcer. You can fix how it looks. Can't fix bad basketball. Can't fix bad basketball. And there was some bad basketball last night. I had to convince my girlfriend to watch this, which is not the easiest sell. But I'm like, hey, you've probably heard of some of these basketball players. She's a big basketball fan. She's a huge college basketball fan. So I'm like, you would probably recognize some of these players. Not wanting to tell her that these players played like back in the 80s and 90s in college. We turned it on. We're about 15 minutes in. I'm watching Ghost Ballers versus the Three-Headed Monsters. And she goes, during a commercial break, so what do you think? And I'm like, well, you know. And I'm trying to like not put it down too much so that she wants to turn it off. I was like, what do you think? She goes, it's pretty atrocious basketball. I'm like, wow, okay. Even you noticed this. Okay, yes. Here's the problem. My guess is they didn't practice at all, right? We had Kenyon Martin, Rashad McCants, some other guys here promoting it the last couple of weeks. Did they mention anything about practicing?
No, and the draft was only, what, a month ago? So it wasn't like they got training camp in. And I imagine the old legs, I mean, how much you want to put wear and tear in practice?
Every one of these guys is like minimum 3 to 5 years retired. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf was playing last night. His entire beard is gray. He looked like a Sherpa working Mount Everest. I'm like, that guy's playing competitive basketball? You know, at the end of the day, what was it? It's the NBA's old guy rec league. That's all it is. And there's some sloppy passing. There's some sloppy offensive sets. There's not really plays that are run. There's not really a lot of coaching. It's just the NBA's old guy rec league. And I guess that's kind of interesting. Here's what they did right. Perfect time of year. Now that the NBA finals are over and they're going to get this done before football season, what do you got going on besides baseball? There is, if you want some hoops, there's the summer league. There's NBA summer league. But honestly, you know, you flip around and on a Monday night, you've got, if you maybe you want to watch baseball, maybe you don't, you're flipping around. You might check out some basketball because you won't get basketball again until November or whatever. And basketball is such a burgeoning sport globally. It is so popular here in the States. It's so popular everywhere that there is room for more basketball during the offseason. What I don't think is a good idea is having guys that can't play basketball anymore just because they have a name. That wasn't fun. It really wasn't. Like, Jay Williams, White Chocolate, made one move to his left and kind of juked out. I think it was Rashad Evans or something. And went to the basket, and that was like the only thing the crowd could get really hyped up for. Because you're going, well, what else is happening besides some errant three-pointers, some bad jump shots, and some old guys dribbling off their foot out of bounds? You can't fake this. And I would say this. This league actually might work, even though the three-on-three aspect is weird. If you're used to watching basketball competitively, you're not used to watching three-on-three. This thing could work to me if you played the D-League during this time frame. See, the D-League shouldn't play during the NBA and college basketball season. The D-League should play now because it's just like we talk about, Mraz, a spring football league. You can't play football against real football. Nobody's going to opt for the Canadian Football League or a minor league or an XFL or a USFL if you have the NFL and college football. You're not going to opt for the D League if you've got the NBA and college basketball, but you would take spring football and you would take summer basketball if it was during a time frame that, you know, nothing was going on, if it's minor leagues. I think this is where now the Gatorade League, the G League, should play. Play in this spot of the calendar, and I think people would watch.
Yeah, if I've had 7 glasses of water and I'm not thirsty, I don't want another glass of water. But when I'm dying of thirst, I want more water. Right now, I want more basketball and football. That's where it works.
See, if you were going to make an eating or drinking metaphor, I never thought in a million years it was going to be water. I thought maybe it would be like devil dogs, ring dings, a slice of pizza.
I guess. I mean, but hydration-wise, it's water, iced tea, or beer for me.
Okay. All right. That's the three.
That's my big three.
That's your big...
Only one of those, though, is good for hydration. So, but that's better for you than normal. One out of three.
When we come back, Kim Jones is going to join us in studio. We'll do some off-season NFL stuff with her. She's a reporter for the NFL Network, does an amazing job. We'll get her thoughts and a lot of stuff going on, cooking around the league this offseason. Next in studio, you can watch it at watchda.com. That's also mobile friendly right on your phone. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sports talk was meant to be on an imaginary spaceship.
What language is that?
I had no idea what that guy was talking about.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Tuesday to you, everybody. Glad you're with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Our next guest is an intrepid reporter for the NFL Network and had a fantastic back and forth with Mike Francesa on WFAN a couple of days ago, that really went viral. It was excellent.
No one's arguing, Mike, that he shouldn't grow up. No one's saying, like, oh, he's fine just where he is in terms of emotional intelligence or in terms of growth as a human being. He himself is saying he's working on that.
Okay.
He's reading the same book that Tom Brady reads every year.
But I don't think that is a step in the right direction, not showing up when the rest of his team shows up. I don't think that's a step in the right direction.
Mike, I'm sitting here in the parking lot with my air conditioning on because I would have melted outside today to do this interview.
Right.
You're the only one who cares about this right now. It's over.
That's okay. But I'm the only one I'm the only one who screamed at his coach that he should have been disciplined 2 times to Coughlin and the bottom line is he's still testing the organization all the time. And he tests them on the field, he tests them during games, he tests them all the time. That's the point. It's time to grow up. They went through this with Shockey. It never got better.
But this They're not even close to the same person.
I'm not saying they were.
That's Kim Jones on WFAN talking about Odell Beckham, of course, which is the biggest offseason story for the New York Giants this summer. And Kim joins us here in studio, and you can watch the interview at watchda.com. Kim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How
are
you doing?
Your studio's great. I've never been in here.
This is the first time you've been in here?
Since it's been redone.
Okay.
Yeah. It looks great.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks so much. Yeah, we did it just for you. So a couple of months ago, we were like, Kim's going to be here in the summer. So do you feel then like the Odell Beckham stuff is overblown, that some people are taking unfair criticisms towards him?
I don't necessarily think it's overblown because every single thing the guy does is enormous. He's one of the top 10 players in this league as voted by his peers. 3 receivers on that, actually, Julio Jones and Antonio Brown ahead of him, NFL Network's list that the players vote for. He is remarkably interesting. He's intelligent. He's bright. His highlights are ridiculous. I actually went back, DA, last night. The Giants had tweeted a highlight reel of him because he was number 8 on the top 100 list. You forget how good he is because what you think of is that Packers playoff game when he and others did not play well and he had a couple drops in the game, 3, I believe. So everything he does is a big deal. I'm not saying it's overblown. I just disagree with Mike Francesa where he's coming down on it.
Well, you know, here's the interesting thing about Odell Beckham. You can't say that he needs to be there at OTAs to be a great wide receiver because he's a great wide receiver anyway. I do wonder why it seems like he kind of wanted to make a statement by being out in L.A. and not being there and still being photographed, still being kind of part of the news cycle. Is it, do you think, simply about wanting a better contract?
Well, he was training out in L.A. His trainer was out there. Sometimes his trainer's in New Jersey with him. This time of year, his trainer's in L.A. So he was training. Yeah, there were a lot of videos posted of him training, pictures when he goes to NBA games Obviously, he's going to be in a visible spot. The hair is going to make him even more visible. So did he go out and have fun at different times? I'm sure he did. I think a lot of players in the NFL probably took part of the offseason to enjoy themselves. So I don't think this was contract related. This was not a holdout. You can't hold out from something voluntary anyway. But for those wringing their hands about all of this, Odell Beckham Jr. took the field in week 5 of his rookie season, ran a route he'd never practiced, caught a pass from Eli on a throw Eli had never made to Beckham for a touchdown, for his first NFL touchdown. And I remember asking Eli about it afterwards, and he said he never practices. And that was because of the hamstring. So this idea that he has to do this or that to be successful, I think he's already proven that he can break the mold in some of those capacities. You also did not see the hand wringing over the other players who missed OTAs.
Totally agree. And this is where I do think the Odell Beckham stuff is overblown. You can't compare it to Jeremy Shockey because Shockey had a lot of problems off of the football field.
I covered both. They're just completely different people.
Completely different, mm-hmm. Right? And there was a lot more that Shockey just, they couldn't handle about Jeremy Shockey versus Odell Beckham. Beckham's a totally different personality. Mm-hmm. And also superstars get different treatments. Like people say, well, LT always showed up on Sundays and Bill Parcells was fine with that. Well, he also missed a bunch of 1987 because he was in drug rehab. And so the Giants couldn't have been thrilled with that either, even if he showed up on Sundays. And that's not part of Odell's either. So I do think it's somewhat overblown. I just do think it's weird that he would be working out, quote unquote, in California when he could have been working out in New Jersey
with
the Giants.
Olivier Vernon has a trainer in Miami he's always worked out with over OTAs. He didn't go to OTAs when he was with the Dolphins, and it was right there because his trainer's in Miami. There are guys who prefer their own trainers, and Odell has a teammate who just did exactly the same thing, and OV does have the big contract.
That's
so
true.
With him, you can't argue it's contract related. It's clearly preference with his trainer. So
it's true.
You know, listen, Odell Beckham Jr. is an unbelievable talent. I have no doubt he will be a Giant for life. That's hard to say in the NFL. You see Peyton Manning change teams late in his NFL life, but I think for the foreseeable future, Odell Beckham Jr. will be a Giant. He will end up getting the long-term contract. What's more important to me is how he's received by his teammates. They absolutely love him. And I could give you examples of it, but the best thing I can say to you, DA, is as we're in the metropolitan area, if they didn't, you'd hear about it. Because someone anonymously would talk to a reporter who would be more than happy to write that.
It's a good point. Kim Jones joins us, reporter, NFL Network. From a Jets standpoint, this looks like it's going to be a dumpster fire of a season. And you almost wonder if they want it to be, I don't want to say they want to lose, but they wouldn't mind because they would give them a high draft pick in a quarterback situation. What do you think they view about their own quarterback situation right now, specifically Christian Hackenberg?
Well, I think this season will be about learning if Christian Hackenberg can do the job. The Jets' best case scenario, and I will not waver on this, and I do not predict what will happen, but their best case scenario is that Hackenberg can play and that they leave 2017 saying, okay, we have Hackenberg, now we have to build the other parts of the team around him. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I think it's likelier than not, given everything that's gone on with Hackenberg so far, that it doesn't. I am also in the minority in the media in believing the kid, at the very least, at age 22, never taken an NFL snap, deserves at least the chance to show what he is. And then the Jets will move on from there. Mm. And if they move on with him as the quarterback, they're in decent shape then, because they do have some players at different spots with whom they can grow. They will then need to be very, very good in the draft and very, very selective in a free agency where they're going to have boatloads of money to spend next year.
Why do you think the NFL decided to relax its celebration rules in the end zone?
Because I think it got old. I think it got tiresome to see these NFL officials who didn't want to do this, from everyone I've talked to.
Yeah.
They'd have to stand there and just watch and watch and watch, throw the flag. I think it just got to be too much. And I think that Roger Goodell, consulting with dozens and dozens, I think it was 80, maybe 60 or 80 players, maybe more than 80, maybe 100 players, maybe a million players, I don't know. But it was a lot of players he talked to. This was one area where the league was willing to give. And now the players have to hold up their end of the bargain. And the one thing that's going to keep them in check, that 40-second clock is starting for the extra point. So you'd spend too much time celebrating. The penalty, first of all, may then be thrown, but you're also going to set your team back on a play that is no longer money in the NFL, and that's the extra point.
Do you think part of it was also marketing to a younger fan base, kids
Maybe.
That wanted to see celebrations and personality?
Maybe. I think that we want to see it, and I'm not the younger fan base.
I agree. You know, I do, too.
The crazy stuff is crazy, but a guy wants to make a snow angel as snow is falling. First of all, that's not the worst optic the league can have, by the way.
True.
You know, a guy wants to shoot the football over the crossbar for a, you know, a basketball score after scoring a touchdown, who cares? These guys who pose for pictures and take a picture, and that used to cost you 12 grand plus in fines, stupid. They're going to get rid of all of that stuff. So I think it's better for the league, and I know the officials like the idea that they don't have to call that stuff.
Yeah, because they're paid to worry about, you know, holding and pass interference and stuff like that. And then when they're trying to judge what a celebration is, that's kind of out of their purview anyway. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and the lewd stuff will still be called. So it's not, you know,
can't
go crazy. Can't the AB would have still been flagged.
Can't twerk. Do you think that there's going to be a severe Super Bowl hangover for the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, I do, actually. For one thing, their offensive coordinator is now the head coach of the 49ers. For another, there usually is. Statistically, it's very hard to get back.
Yeah.
You know, even the Patriots, they've only done it back-to-back once.
That's right.
You know, as great as they've been. So it's very, the league is set up for it to be hard. The league is set up to encourage parity. You do have new teams making the playoffs every year. A handful of new made them in January for the first time in a while, including the Giants, who we just talked about. So the league is not set up for repeat champions, and I think that's a good thing.
Do you think it was weird that the Chicago Bears paid all that money to Mike Glennon and then decided to spend that high draft pick on Mitch Trubisky?
It was weird. It was weird. And as it's breaking down, I was at the Jets that day because they had the number 6 overall pick. When that happened, Damon, I was like, the Jets might have a shot here at Jamal Adams. That's the guy they wanted. That's the guy they needed.
Him, huh?
They absolutely loved him. Everyone loves him almost. But I had teams that liked him better than Myles Garrett.
Really?
Teams tell me that. So as that was what I was watching was, wait, Adams is going to fall here now? Because I thought he'd go to the Bears there. So, yeah, weird, yeah. It was weird. I think people at Chicago probably think it's weird.
Yeah, I think people in Chicago are going, what are we doing? Why do we spend all that money on this one guy and then draft another guy?
Yeah, it's an odd, you know, you talk about quarterback situations not being healthy. That's a considerable investment in your quarterback, a fairly big money free agent guy, not the biggest money, but fairly big money, and then that high draft pick. Yeah.
Before I let you go, since we consider kind of the Patriots the top dogs usually in the NFL, who do you think is the best competition for the New England Patriots in 2017?
Besides no one,
yes. No one is not an answer.
Yeah, no one's not an answer. I guess Houston, although the quarterback situation there
really
scares
you. Really? You put Houston,
yeah, because I think they get J.J. Watt back, that defense would at least have a fair chance.
Yeah, okay. You see that? I'm high in Houston as well, so is Kim Jones.
I didn't say I'm nuts on Houston, but I would say Houston. I think you put J.J. on a defense that did give... I was at that playoff game, and they did give Brady issues. They did confound him a little bit and bothered him a little bit, and that's with J.J. Watt dealing with the back. So.
And now you have Deshaun Watson go in there, and I like him as well coming out of college. Kim Jones, great reporter for the NFL Network. Follow her on Twitter, at Kim Jones Sports. She also writes for NFL.com. You hear on WFAN in New York as well, and she's going to head over to WFAN and do some radio today, huh?
I am in a few minutes. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
I really
Kim.
Appreciate it.
This is very cool. Kim Jones joining us from NFL Network here on the show. You can always hit us up at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You can hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I think that question about who is the top dog to try to knock off the New England Patriots is a fascinating question. Because really, when you look at this offseason, who is it going to be? Who is it going to be in the AFC East? Who is it going to be in the AFC? I think what Kim brings up about the Texans is a really important point, that hey, they had a great defense already. And then you add J.J. Watt back to the mix. That should make that defense even better. Whitney Mercilus, fantastic. We saw finally Jadeveon Clowney show that Clowney was deserving of being that high of a draft pick. They had great play also in their secondary. And I think that right now the Texans defense is set up to be the best defense in all of football. I really believe that. But here's the question mark. As good as DeAndre Hopkins is, Will Fuller had a solid season, if not fantastic, because of his quarterbacking last year.
The whole snapper and third-string quarterback.
You should have the opportunity also to have some decent play on offense. Deshaun Watson just depends on how quickly he picks up the offense, how quickly he picks up the league and the speed of the game. I'm a huge Deshaun Watson fan. I really am. But I don't expect him to have huge success and total comfort rookie season. And I don't expect them to be as good as, say, Dak Prescott was in Dallas, because they don't have the type of offensive line or the type of running game that Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys brought to the table. I think about, though, another rookie quarterback that had huge success because his defense was very good, and that was the 0-4 Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger, who actually went 15-1 that year with Roethlisberger as a rookie quarterback and then lost in the AFC title game to the New England Patriots. I don't expect them to go 15-1. I don't expect them to have a season like the Cowboys did. But if there is a rookie quarterback that could step in and have some immediate success and a very good defense that will allow that quarterback to not have to do too much, and that quarterback having a veteran, dynamic, amazing wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins to throw to, then the Texans, also in a winnable division, look the part of a playoff team. Problem is, do I think that Deshaun Watson's going to Foxborough and winning in the playoffs? No way. 855-212-4CBS. When we come back, speaking of the Patriots, the NFL players voted on their number one player. Who was it? We'll tell you next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.